So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
Hello, it is Friday, and this is some great news for some of us. Relieved, if any. I'd been recovering with my voice all week long after I'd been sick last week and getting used to the new transition of allergies and the seasons in the Midwest coming from California. This is like, it snowed. It literally snowed this spring pollen, and now it's already snowing leaves. I'm waiting for, like, hopefully the leaves actually stay on the trees, because I really want to enjoy this Midwest fall color, the color tours and everything that you're supposed to do here. If you're just joining us, I'm Timory. Today, diving in on the show, we're going to unpack a lot having to do with the virtue of fortitude, wrapping up this four-week series on the cardinal virtues. Do you know all of them? This is the last one. I want to see, maybe someone can call and tell me, and I'll trust that you did not try and look this up on your phone, but you remember because you've been listening to the series. If you'd like to join the conversation today, the number is 1-888-914-9149. Joining me in just a little bit here on the show will actually be Dr. Susan Caldwell. Now, she's a NAPRO doctor. If you don't know what that is, a NAPRO doctor is someone who specializes in fertility and infertility and women's health. And she has helped so many people who thought they would never be able to have children, to conceive babies. She's helped women with endometriosis, polycystic ovarian syndrome, so many terrors and trauma from the past, including years of having used hormonal birth control. And so please join us with your questions. If you have a question for yourself or someone you know, she'll be joining us. The number is 1-888-914-9149. Now, today, one of the topics we're going to unpack, because you might not know that there can actually be things done for if you've been through a miscarriage. In fact, NAPRO technology, it is not in vitro fertilization, can do great work in helping with pregnancy loss and addressing low progesterone. So we'll explore the connection between miscarriage, pregnancy loss, and low progesterone today with Dr. Susan Caldwell. But first, today is the feast day of Our Lady of Mercy. Now, you may not have heard that title before. So often I'm amazed by the number of feast days that we have just for Our Lady. And it is absolutely phenomenal to see time and time again how Our Lady, not only across the entire tradition of the faith, continues to be present, but especially within the feast days throughout the year. I mean, if we just look at the liturgical week, within the week, on Saturdays, we're meant to give a special honor to Our Lady. If there's not a particular saint for that day, a Mass is actually said in honor of the Blessed Virgin Mary, especially in evoking her intercession. And so, today is the Feast of Our Lady of Mercy, also known as Our Lady of Ransom. Now, this feast day has to do with going back all the way to the 13th century. In August of 1218, Our Lady appeared, known as Our Lady of Ransom or of Mercy, and she appeared with two bags of coins. She appeared with these two bags of coins because she went and ransomed Christians who were being held hostage in their native land of Spain when Islam held them captive. At the time, we know them as the Moors, and they persecuted Christians. So Our Lady, we see in this instance, ended up coming and stooping down to us human beings who, in the thick of our sin, even in the midst of our fidelity to the church or our striving, that she came and saved these Christians at that time in the 13th century. And so why would we celebrate a feast day ongoing year after year, recognizing this apparition of Our Lady? Well, number one, she appeared here on earth. Number two, she actually helped save Christians. So this is why we know the Blessed Virgin Mary as Our Lady Help of Christians, because she intercedes for us before the heavenly throne of her Son, God the Father and the Holy Spirit, invoking her Son to be with us, to intercede for us, to draw us into his life, to help remove any impediments of vices and sin and all of those things that we struggle with day to day. So Our Lady provides us with this incredible opportunity to turn to her as an intercessor of mercy. Now, it's interesting because we often think of mercy from the perspective of Jesus Christ and how merciful he is, especially for having offered his life on the cross for you and I, so that we might be united with him in heaven one day, or have a taste of heaven here on earth. But do we ever really think about, well, what does it mean for Our Lady to have the title Our Lady of Mercy? I was pondering, what does mercy even mean? I was thinking about it, you know, I've never really like looked up and opened up a dictionary. Sometimes it's interesting to ponder words that maybe we've never actually looked at a dictionary, but we've just learned what mercy was in conversation and day-to-day interactions. And my immediate thought was mercy has to do with forgiveness. Mercy, someone who's merciful is kind and gentle in their mercy. And they're showing mercy because usually there's something that's been done on our part that's been harmful, perhaps, to someone else. And this is what's interesting about Our Lady, is the title Our Lady of Mercy under this apparition, is that she had a mercy on those poor Christians who were being held captive by the Moors, by the Islams, who were persecuting them for their faith. And she saved them with two bags of coins. Why was this a merciful act by Our Lady? Because she had compassion. She was willing to come in and help them, even though they're probably like you and I, Christians on the journey who have struggled in the midst of our own sin and just yuckiness, that, to be quite frank, have actually participated in what would have put her son on the cross. And sure, all of us can say, well, I didn't commit that sin, then I know someone else did, or I didn't do this or that. Well, the reality is that Our Lady from heaven knows, especially from her experience here on earth as well, the suffering that her son went through. And yet, even in the midst of knowing that he suffered for us, he endured all, he took the punishment for all of our sins, that she would be willing in our sinfulness to appear on earth to intercede for us. This is why we celebrate today this feast day of Our Lady of Mercy. Because in her gentleness, in her kindness, in her forgiveness for any sins you and I may have committed against her son, she sees the striving that we are engaging in our Christian journey. And she has so many graces to bestow upon us. She has merciful acts such as this act. And I keep thinking about Our Lady and all of her apparitions over the course of history. And I especially turn to Our Lady of Fatima. Our Lady of Fatima, who just a little over 100 years ago, Our Lady appeared to three young children. That apparition itself was also an act of mercy. Her showing us yet again her mercy, her forgiveness, her gentleness, her compassion, and her capacity to help us. And one of the big things that has always stood out to me about Our Lady's apparition at Fatima is actually that she revealed to those three visionaries a vision of hell. Can you even imagine? We don't really take hell seriously. I always wonder, what would it take? Like, what sort of understanding of hell and what understanding of heaven would it be necessary for us to strive for heaven and to avoid hell more ferociously, intentionally, and fiercely than we do now? I think it's an important question, because I think in the 21st century, with this incredible capacity for technology, with its incredible capacity for, you know, kind of creating these false realities, these multiple dimensions, these, you know, every book that we've read that 100 years ago someone would have read and they never would have seen a real life depiction of it on a television, whether it be something like recent Lord of the Rings or even stories of Troy, you know, people never would have imagined that they would see these stories lived out. And so sometimes I think because of this imagination that we have presented to us on a screen, we've lost our sense of imagination by allowing movies and television to take its place. Which is incredible, but sometimes are we able to imagine? Because our imagination is important for our faith. Not that we're making up fake things, but that we're actually using our imagination in the pondering of who God is, of what heaven is, the delight it will be, and also of the terror and horror of hell. Our Lady at Fatima showed hell to three little children. What should that tell us? Well, those three little children, two of whom are saints now, those three little children lived lives of penance from that day forth. As a little boy, Our Lady told Francesco that he was going to have to pray many, many, many rosaries in order to make it to heaven. In other words, his salvation was compromised. He was at risk of not going to heaven. Can you just think about that for a second? As a little boy, what could he have done? What could have been the state of his temperament, his bad habits, his lack of virtue that led him to a state where he was actually already Our Lady telling him compromised? And in fact, Our Lady revealed to them other young children who had died before them who were actually in hell. All of this comes back to Our Lady of Mercy. Why is she so merciful? Because she loves us so greatly that she's willing to not only intercede for us before the heavenly throne of our Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, but she's willing to come to earth to appear to us. Our Lady of Ransom in 1218, Our Lady of Fatima just a little over 100 years ago. Because she knows the terrors of hell and the delights of heaven. And she would like to do anything in our power, like any good mother would, to tenderly, lovingly, kindly, gently, by her mercy and forgiveness for the sins that we ourselves commit against her Son, do what she can to beckon us and help clear a way so that we too might enter into the heavenly glory with her Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the significance of the feast day of Our Lady of Mercy. And I'll say this, I've never really paid attention to this feast day before. This is the first time. And as I've been thinking about it throughout the day, the more profound it became to me that Our Lady has this title. And that it's a feast day on our calendar that for some reason, no one's talking about. I want to encourage you. I often talk about living liturgically. I want to encourage you to start paying attention to the feast days every single day. And don't let it be superficial. Find out who the saint is, but try to learn something interesting about them, their story. Maybe look up some of their writings and just take one line at the beginning of the day of something they've said. And then pray and ponder that all day long. Pray for the intercession of that saint. Pray for their intercession as you struggle to combat and eradicate sin from your life by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and grow in virtue. If you want to grow in virtue, by the way, we're going to continue our virtue series here on Trending. I'm going to be back in just a moment, and we'll dive into our very last day of this four-week-long series on virtue. In fact, if you've been joining us during our virtue series, and maybe there was this big takeaway that you've had, give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. The number's 1-888-914-9149. We're going to discuss the virtues that fall under the virtue of fortitude, helping us to be courageous. And we're also going to ask this question. It has to do with fortitude. Is being ambitious a sin? Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
A Okay, so this is it. We've been at this 4 weeks already. This flew by. If you've joined us during our virtue series, this is week four of the four cardinal virtues. Today is fortitude. If you'd like to unpack some of the other virtues we've walked through, we've actually compiled all of the content. So we have the virtue of justice, we have the virtue of temperance, and we have the virtue of prudence, each in a separate podcast. So here's the deal. I've given you a homework. I've given you examples. I want to encourage you, if you've missed any of the virtue series, go subscribe to the podcast, relevantradio.com/trending, where you can catch those podcasts. Because for me, this whole tradition of our church is so important. And for some reason, I found these moments where I'll discover something, such as Our Lady of Mercy, Our Lady of Ransom, who we were just talking about today. I'm like, how come I didn't know about this 20 years ago? And that includes the four cardinal virtues of prudence, justice, temperance, and fortitude. What the heck do those words even mean? Let alone, how do I practice them and live them out? Well, we've been talking and unpacking that all week here on the show, or last 4 weeks. So today is the virtue of fortitude. We're going to unpack a really interesting question, and that is, it has to do with fortitude. Is being ambitious a sin? I had never thought about this before reading St. Thomas Aquinas and the great tradition of the church and parsing out where we're at in our personal kind of intention with what we do. So we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about the virtues that fall under fortitude, other words that we're like, what the heck does that mean? From magnanimity. Can you say it? Magnanimity. I wonder if I could say that five times quickly. Magnanimity. Magnanimity. I'm going to stop. I'll stop now. That'll be my new vocal warm-up. Luckily, you don't hear my vocal warm-ups before the show. But we'll talk about perseverance, patience, and more. But coming up in just a little bit, if you have a question, Dr. Susan Caldwell will be joining me. And Dr. Susan Caldwell is a fertility specialist and infertility specialist. She is a NAPRO doctor, Catholic, pro-life. She's incredible. And guess what? There are other people like her, maybe not with a cool Southern accent, all across the nation waiting to help women and men who are struggling with fertility to conceive a baby or treat underlying health issues. This is a big deal to me, something I'm passionate about. I have Hashimoto's disease and polycystic ovarian syndrome. Both are really difficult in terms of conceiving a baby and just monthly cycles and all of that. So she is a type of doctor that I've seen for years who has been extremely helpful, and I hope that she can be helpful for you as well, or for someone else. So you're listening to Trending with Timory. I'm Timory. And so back to virtue and the virtue of fortitude. Do you know what fortitude means? Well, fortitude, we have to understand, is acting in the face of fear. Acting in the face of fear to the point of death. But also, let's replace fear with acting in the face of difficulties. Because fortitude has all to do with us choosing the good when we want it, but for some reason after there's something that's good that we want. But when we start to walk down that path, or when we even start to ponder doing it, all of a sudden we realize, oh, that's going to be difficult. I take a different path. And I give a really silly example, but I mean, let's be real. I'm a California girl and humidity is awful. Humidity is awful. And cleaning my house when it's humid, I'm not going to vacuum. I'm not going to dust. I don't even like walking up the stairs in the humidity. But does that mean it's good for me to become a couch potato and just sit down all day long? No, it would be horrible, especially because I'm a very active person. I struggle like mentally if I am not physically active. I can't focus. I'm like borderline like depressed and just sad and grumpy. Like I need those endorphins and all of the great beneficial chemicals of exercising. In fact, I did a whole episode on the benefits of exercise and the great cocktail that goes into our brain from it. We'll include a link to that in the podcast notes for today. If you want to listen to that, it'll be available a little later. So here's the deal. I still need to overcome the fact that I perceive a difficulty. I don't want to be sweaty. I hate the humidity. I don't want to be uncomfortable. That would be fortitude, is what would help me get through all of that. Now, fortitude, really, usually we should be creating the virtue of fortitude in our lives so that when simple things come up, we get into the habit of not just looking at the difficulty and quitting or trying to take an easier path, but that we're actually choosing the path of fortitude that will truly transform who we are, what we do, and help us to choose what is good, what is right, what is moral, what is just, and what will lead us to be united to God, ultimately. And so, St. Thomas Aquinas says, fortitude observes firmness in matters wherein it is most difficult to stand firm, especially in the face of death. Fortitude is what, if one day you and I are called to, it is what will make us capable and able to offer our life for Christ as martyrs. This is a virtue we may need. I don't know if it will come to this for us in our lifetime. I look at Christians all over Iraq, the Middle East. I look at Christians in China. They are literally dying for their faith and being persecuted. This could be us one day. I don't know. This could be my daughter. I don't know, but what I do know is I have a responsibility to teach what the church teaches so that we are prepared to be united to God and that we won't apostatize, that we won't deny our faith, succumb to the culture. So one of the questions that was asked yesterday, and I want to briefly touch on it, does fear excuse us from sin? Well, we have to understand that fear usually stems from those things that we love. We fear what is essentially contrary to that which we love. So, for example, we need to be able to understand whether or not the things we love are inordinate, that is dysfunctional, inappropriate to love, or whether they're correct things we should be loving. Because what happens is if our love is inordinate, if it's dysfunctional, well, we're going to fear losing that dysfunctional thing in our life. And so here's the question, does fear excuse us from sin? Well, fear can excuse you and I from sin if we do something involuntarily. In other words, if we lose our free will to choose something. So if we act out of fear and the fear is so crippling that we were not able to do the good because we were completely consumed by the fear. Well, here's the deal. That's only not sinful if your fear is being subject to reason, if it was reasonable that you were fearful. But if your fear is unreasonable, then what you do out of fear is actually sinful. So here's the homework for us. Do we ponder those things we fear in life? It can be really difficult to practice the virtue of fortitude. I'm going to give you one example. My mind was blown when I thought about this, because you know, you'll hear people talk about ambitious individuals, and some people talk about ambition in a positive way, and other people talk about ambition in a negative way. What do you think? Do you think ambition's good or bad? It's an important question. Honestly, I hadn't really thought that much about it, but then as I pondered it a little bit more, I realized that there are certain instances where I'll use the word ambitious maybe to talk about someone, and it might be in a negative sense. Because you know, we all know those ambitious people who are literally willing to stomp on anyone and anything else to get ahead in life. Even forego their faith. So here's the deal. Here's the question. Is ambition a sin? Yes, it actually is, according to St. Thomas Aquinas, because it is self-seeking. Ambition is a sin. It falls under fortitude because fortitude is acting in the face of fear or in the face of difficulties and, if necessary, to the point of death. Why is ambition sinful? Why is ambition not a part of this virtue? Because ambition would lead us to do the thing for the wrong reason, but a virtue leads us to do the thing for the right reasons. So ambition would mean that I'm doing something difficult or dangerous or courageous because I want honor. I'm vain. I want that glory. My pride needs to be stroked. You see, when we do things, it should be for the right reasons. And when we're praised for doing those things, we should praise God and recognize that He equipped us in getting there. We should also see how the good that we do, the purpose for us having done it, was so that it could profit others. We should do so without counting the cost. This is where fortitude, acting courageously, virtuously, comes in. It's where St. Thomas Aquinas, when he's talking about ambition, says, love of praise is actually sinful. It put me in check. I don't know about you. Where in my life do I need to be better about not wanting self-recognition or recognition from others? But I think there's a piece of wisdom that will help us in this. Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 5, let your light shine before men, He wants us to shine bright. He wants us to be successful. He wants us to be proud of ourselves, not prideful, but proud of ourselves. He does want us to do well, but he wants our light to shine before others because that light first came from God and our creation and the grace that he bestows upon us. Any good that we do is because of our Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing that we do in and of ourselves alone is sin. So this brings us to the many virtues that fall under fortitude, and I'm just scratching the surface on some of these. One of them is magnanimity. Now, magnanimity, try saying that 5 times fast. St. Thomas Aquinas says, is stretching forth of the mind to great things. Okay, let's interpret that. So magnanimity has to do with this greatness of being a great person, being an excellent person, greatness of courage even, as St. Thomas Aquinas says. And what it is it's you and I learning to tend toward those things that are great. Those things that aren't just good, but are excellent. You know, I always think of one of my favorite quotes that I mention all the time from Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI. He says, the world offers you comfort. You weren't made for comfort. You were made for greatness. The world offers you comfort. You weren't made for comfort. You were made for greatness. You were made to be magnanimous. You were made to pursue great, excellent, wonderful things. To not fall short, to not give in, to not compromise. This is why magnanimity falls under fortitude, because we have to overcome difficulties in our life. Confidence is another virtue that falls under fortitude. Confidence, I didn't know this, but it made sense, comes from the word faith. It means to, as St. Thomas Aquinas says, to believe in something and or in somebody. Think about it. You have confidence in people who you can trust to be there if you needed them. You have confidence in someone who you know you can confide in confidence, and you trust them. That's to have faith in them. But it also has to do with hope, because it has to do with this regard of having a hope and having something. Now, confidence, I think that a lot of people have fake confidence today. Or cockiness. You know, and I'm all about faking it till you make it. You know, there are things like, for example, I don't know, you know, years ago, the first time I sat in front of a microphone, my confidence was 100% from our Lord Jesus Christ. You should know this. To this day, if I were set inside a classroom and everyone was taking turns reading and my turn was coming, I would be sweating. I would have like a tight chest the entire time the turn was going around for everyone to read. And then when it came to me, I would be bright red, purple. I'd like be so nervous reading. It's hard. But for some reason, our Lord, I think, gave me this opportunity to work in Catholic radio. And praise the Lord. That requires a lot of confidence. And I will say that confidence is rooted, as we just learned, in faith and hope. And that faith and hope for me is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, I bring that example up, this personal example up, because so many of the virtues that we live out are impossible without God. And we'll talk about that in a moment as we wrap up the series. Magnificence is another one of the virtues that is so important that falls under fortitude. Magnificence, St. Thomas Aquinas says, first, the magnificent man intends principally the greatness of his work. So a magnificent person has the intention of doing this great thing. But secondly, the magnificent person also intends the greatness of the experience with no expense to himself. So in other words, a magnificent person doesn't calculate how much it's going to cost him, how little sleep he's going to get, how exhausted he will be. The magnificent person isn't going to shirk responsibility. You know, there's this attitude in our culture that's pretty trending. It's easy for all of us to fall into it. To get by with doing as little as possible, but to still, quote, make a commitment. See, magnificence, the virtue of magnificence, helps us to come against that. To actually intend to do great things and to not count the costs of them. Finally, patience and perseverance. Patience, as St. Gregory the Great emphasizes, that patience is to suffer within a mind that is not inflicted or overly impacted by the evils of this world, that we're able to endure the suffering and the evils that occur, but we're not going to succumb to them. We're not going to give up. We're not going to give up on our faith, even especially with the threat of physical harm or death, which falls under this virtue of fortitude. And finally, perseverance. St. Thomas Aquinas talks about how we're called to persist in something for the good, for a long time. And how when we persist in the good for a long time, this is where things become virtuous. This is perseverance. And this is why it falls under fortitude, because fortitude is a cardinal virtue upon which all the other virtues rest upon. And fortitude, if necessary, if one day we are called, will be what will equip us to one day make the offering and sacrifice of our life in a bloody martyrdom, or through those day-to-day, moment-to-moment, simple moments where we give ourselves for others. The only thing we can do on our own is sin. How will we accomplish virtue in our life? Well, Aristotle says virtue is about the difficult and the good. Virtue is about the difficult and the good. Doing the good thing, the right thing, for the right reasons. How will we endure? How will we choose? How will we act? How will we overcome? How will we succeed in a life of virtue? It is only by the life of grace within us. The only thing we do on our own is sin. God's grace will sustain us in virtue if only we will cooperate, pray, act, practice, make an effort, pray for these virtues. St. Thomas Aquinas, and I'll leave you with these words as we wrap up our 4-week virtue series. You can subscribe to the podcast at relevantradio.com/trending if you want to join us in this virtue series. All of the 4 virtues will be up starting Monday. 3 of them are already there for us to grow in them. St. Thomas Aquinas said this about perseverance and fortitude. We need the gift of habitual grace. How will we be virtuous? By the life of grace, the life of Christ within us. In other words, live a sacramental life. Live in a state of grace. I'll be right back here on Trending. Joining me will be NAPRO infertility specialist Dr. Susan Caldwell. We're taking your questions surrounding fertility, infertility, women's health, and also we'll unpack the connection between progesterone, low progesterone, and miscarriage. I'll be right back here on Trending.
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
I am back with the lovely, incredible, and can we say a miracle worker for so many people in their lives, Dr. Susan Caldwell. She's a NAPRO doctor, which specializes in fertility and infertility. All hope is not lost. So many women are giving up, turning to harmful for our bodies as women, in vitro fertilization, surrogacy, harmful practices that are so unhealthy for our bodies, thinking that they can't have children. There's no hope. After years of birth control use, or after having been diagnosed with anything from a thyroid issue to polycystic ovarian syndrome or endometriosis, all hope is not lost. We'll be taking your questions. If you have a question, let us know. The number is 1-888-914-9149. And we're also going to actually unpack a really important topic here, and that is the connection between miscarriage, losing a baby, and low progesterone. Dr. Susan Caldwell, what's the connection here between the two? And is this something for someone who perhaps has had a miscarriage can actually work on?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Timory. So, yeah. So many, many women end up with a miscarriage, a loss, or even preterm delivery. That's a major big one. So at the front end of pregnancy, miscarriage because of lack of progesterone, and the importance of progesterone is really on the uterus, the lining of the uterus in the early part of pregnancy. And in the later part of pregnancy, it's important that the progesterone is there to keep the uterus from contracting and delivering too early. So those are two places where progesterone is used to help help a pregnancy to be healthy.
That's Dr. Susan Caldwell here on Trending. I'm going to share a little bit of my story because I think it's important. Some of you followed me through the journey, and that is that my and baby girl when I first found out I was pregnant. It was very, a lot happened. There's a lot I could discuss. But one of the things that happened is right away, I knew, because I knew about Napro technology and some of my own health history, that I had a feeling my progesterone was low. And so I asked, please, will you check my progesterone levels? Now the doctor was like, oh, no, you're fine. You're pregnant. You know, we don't need to check progesterone levels. And I said, no, please just run the labs, check my progesterone levels. Please make sure I'm within the right range. So I ended up asking them to check my progesterone levels. They checked the progesterone levels. They come running back. Oh my gosh, you're totally low. I said, yes, thank you. Just needed that. And I right away went to my Napro doctor and they started to supplement progesterone. Why? Because being low in progesterone, it can lead to miscarriage. I've had some friends who have struggled with this as well. And in later pregnancies, they were able to save their baby with an intervention of the proper dosage based on where their levels were of progesterone. So Dr. Caldwell, you know, I know a lot of women are probably listening and they're going, wow, I had a miscarriage. I wonder what if. How do women proceed if they've had multiple miscarriages or even just one, moving forward both with hope and understanding that they didn't necessarily do anything wrong to cause this as well?
Right, right. I mean, really, women should not feel guilty at all because we can't control our progesterone level. I mean, that's just how it is. But also don't be surprised if you bring it up to your doctor because you're curious about it and they tell you, oh, we don't need to check that. I think any woman who suffered a miscarriage deserves to have it checked in her next pregnancy and ideally even before pregnancy. So if a woman has had a miscarriage and has some irregularities in her cycle, maybe some irregular bleeding or short cycles, or there's a number of things that can be seen on a natural family planning chart, like a Creighton chart, that could be a sign of low progesterone. So I've seen patients who've had many miscarriages, but yet have started progesterone right as soon as they've gotten the positive pregnancy test, and they've done fine in the following pregnancies. Praise but I've also Lord. Seen patients who have not. So for those patients, we tell them, and I try not to say this, but sometimes I tell people when they see me, do not try to get pregnant right now. You know, until we can assess these progesterone levels in the luteal phase, please don't get pregnant, because the lining has to be ready. That lining has to be ready for the implantation to be healthy. So, and especially for women who've been on birth control for a long time, their lining has not really had any progesterone stimulation of the lining to help it to grow and to practice, if you will, for an implantation, to grow thick enough right. for an implantation. Right. So those women have linings that are just stagnant and very, very thin. So it's really important for those women to maybe have their progesterone checked, or just to give it more time. Maybe, but really work with a doctor, a Napro doctor if possible. And now with telehealth, there's so many doctors that are available, even if you don't have one near you.
Now, this is really, really important because, like you said, telehealth, there are Napro doctors available. I know so many people say, there's not a Napro doctor near me. I mean, I'd have to travel to a different state or hours. That's okay. Like you have said, telehealth can help with all of this. My Napro doctor all throughout my pregnancy monitored my progesterone levels without me having to see her in person very often. I mean, it was rough. I had to go and have my blood drawn every 2 weeks because my progesterone level was just not leveling out. We had to continue to increase dosages. And if you've been on progesterone before, there are two ways to do it, or through three ways that I know of to do it. But it's not pleasant at times. It's effort. It's difficult. Yes. You can take oral progesterone, but there are other ways that might be necessary for taking progesterone. And it's a lot of work. And I mean, this is where kind of the whole NFP and natural family planning and Napro technology comes in. And one thing that you commented on, I just want to touch on it for anyone kind of kinking their head and going, wait, what? The church isn't in favor of birth control. They're not in favor of condoms or any type of barrier. What can you do if you, as you just said, might need to not get pregnant for a time? It's called abstinence. And it's a great thing for marriage. And sometimes it's necessary. And this would be considered a grave reason as Pope Saint Paul VI lays out in Humana Vitae, you know, it should be for grave, very serious reasons that we abstain and try to avoid having children. And it's through abstinence. It's not through anything but, it's not through condoms, it's not through birth control, because in this instance, it's for a medical reason to help prepare the body for pregnancy. Now, one question, Dr. Caldwell, if someone has, let's say, polycystic ovarian syndrome, which often has to do with progesterone levels that can be off, would this be an instance where someone will often see miscarriages because of those progesterone levels and should really be working to have that balanced out?
Yes, especially in those women with PCOS who have very irregular cycles. I see that a lot, actually. Women who have trouble identifying their peak day or might have very late peak days and short luteal phases, which is the time between ovulation and the next period, those women tend to be at much higher risk of miscarriage. So it's important to, for them to be charting and to be, you know, monitoring their hormones. Mm-hmm.
There are a ton of questions coming in. If you have a question for NAPRO fertility specialist, Dr. Susan Caldwell, go ahead and give us a call. The number is 1-888-914-9149. One of the questions that came in on Instagram, again, related to the miscarriage topic, Caitlin's asking, what role does sperm quality play in early miscarriage? She heard about this recently.
Much less of a role than anything on the woman's side. I don't know, I don't know the exact data on that, but you know, sperm quality is important, absolutely important. But you know, that tends to be poor sperm quality and problems with the sperm. It that tends to be an issue of the DNA. You know, a problem in terms of the DNA and a miscarriage because of a genetic problem, right? But it's so hard for those little sperm to make it. You know, they've got a big journey. They've got a big journey to make. So the ones that make it and fertilize the egg, man, they're doing pretty good. They've got good motility. They probably have good morphology, which means the shape. But if they were to fertilize the egg, and there were to be a miscarriage because of the sperm, it's more likely because of a genetic issue than a sperm quality issue.
Okay, a follow-up question, because we are hearing an increase in male infertility, and I know many NAPRO doctors do recommend that even while women are working on anything that may be going on with regard to their fertility, that their spouses do the same. So when I first went to my NAPRO doctor, she gave me a paper and said, hey, take this home. It's good to also work on your husband's sperm quality as well, just while we're working on everything else. So only on Catholic Radio, how do you improve sperm quality?
Okay, so just like with women's health, reproductive health, men's reproductive health has to start in the same place, right? To be healthy, right? So to eat right, to get enough sleep, to exercise, to drink enough water. I mean, all the basics of health. So if there are any really bad habits that a man has, like, you know, eating a lot of fried food or drinking a lot of alcohol or smoking, like all that stuff needs to go. You know, men have to take care of their bodies and watching their weight, making sure, you know, they're just in the best health. And that's the one way, the first way, the basic way to help sperm quality. There are prescription medications that can help. I'll say this is super important, that no man who is trying to conceive take testosterone. That will render him infertile.
Oh, really? So explain.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes. Men who are tired or who have low sex drive will go to their doctors and ask about to check their testosterone, and their testosterone might be low. In men of childbearing, I say men of childbearing age, of course, men can always potentially bear a child, you know, have a father a child, but men who are young and healthy, they shouldn't have low testosterone. So we always want to look for the reason why they have low testosterone. You know, are they unhealthy in another way than not taking care of themselves? They're working too hard, not getting enough sleep anyway, things like that. But sometimes doctors will start putting them on testosterone injections, which what happens there is it when a man's on testosterone injections, there's a feedback loop. So the feedback to the brain is we've got a, it feeds back and it says we've got too much testosterone. So the testicles will stop making it.
Interesting.
So
okay.
then the sperm won't be there. Like it's just it's a negative effect on the reproductive organs, which in men are the testicles. So it's really important, and I see that in young men. So that's important. There are vitamins. So vitamin C is one that can help with motility. Alpha lipoic acid, vitamin D. There's something called pycnogenol that can help with motility. There are different vitamins and supplements on the market that are fairly safe. I see some of the ones that people bring me and I look up. They seem safe when I look them up. So maybe run it by maybe the doctor who's treating the woman for sure should look at all of that, because not, mm-hmm. The male doctors don't always know.
Right. Okay. So many questions coming in. One, briefly, if you could just answer shortly, and I'll actually share what prenatal vitamin I take, because you take it when you're nursing and everything as well. It's excellent. But the question is, I'll post this later on Instagram over the weekend. For preconception, Alba Baz is asking this on Instagram. For preconception vitamins, what is better, folate or folic acid?
Definitely folate.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Methylfolate. That word methylfolate should ideally be in the vitamin. In case you're someone who doesn't convert the folic acid to the optimal form of that vitamin, which is folate. Some women genetically can't do that. So it's best to go ahead and take that optimal form, which is the methylfolate.
Excellent. Okay, question. Susie from Illinois is calling, asking, where could we go for a NAPRO doctor in Illinois? A lot of people are asking the same question for their state, their city. We posted on my Twitter, you can find me at Timmerie, T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E, a link to fertility specialists, how you can find one near you. And also, if need be, do a little digging to find a NAPRO specialist via telemedicine. There are many out there. If there's not one close enough to you, again, we posted that on Twitter, and when the podcast of this episode goes up tonight, that link will also be included in the podcast. So be sure to subscribe at relevantradio.com/trending. A lot of questions coming in. Here's a question coming in. I know this is a hot one. We could take an hour discussing it, but if we could briefly touch on this. Christina is calling from Los Angeles. And Christina, what's your question for Dr. Caldwell?
Hi, Timmerie. My husband and I are trying to get pregnant, and we're just hesitant about the vaccine and what that can do, if that's going to possibly impair our chances of getting pregnant. And also, I mean, what could happen to the baby?
Excellent question, Christina. Dr. Caldwell, can you speak to this? Oh, I think we lost Dr. Caldwell there for a second. So great question, Christina. This is one that a lot of people... Oh, here we go. We can hear Dr. Caldwell. Go ahead.
Yes, sorry about that.
Go ahead and answer the question.
All I heard was she was trying to get... they were trying to get pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. I missed it.
Thoughts on receiving the vaccine, the COVID vaccine, while trying to conceive?
Yeah. So, okay. So this is very individual. Okay. So you definitely want to talk to your doctor. So what I tell my patients, the vast majority, I recommend getting the vaccine. Okay. It's becoming, you know, much more, we're seeing a lot more safety data there. And we're also seeing that in pregnancy, there's a lot of vulnerability there with the mom and baby that pregnant women can get very sick. So I do recommend that you get it in general. However, I have told several of my patients to wait to get it. And the reason why I do that is because as I'm looking at their chart, I see there are problems and we haven't found the solution to those problems yet. So while we're still figuring out why they're not ovulating, or why their progesterone levels are very low, things like that, I tell them, just hold off until we at least get you on a treatment plan, find out what's wrong and get you on a treatment plan. And at that point, once things look like they're okay, then go ahead and get the vaccine. So in your case, if your cycles look good and there's every evidence that you're ovulating and things are going well, then yes, I think go ahead and get the vaccine. But if there are a lot of concerns and maybe you've been struggling and you've been infertile for more than 6 months, maybe it would be a good idea to start working on that with a NAPRO doctor before getting the vaccine.
And I'll just share personal experience. Our NAPRO doctor, you know, same thing. There's a lot of controversy what to do. I have advised not to, given the difficulty in conceiving babies. And I know a lot of NAPRO doctors, and Dr. Caldwell, you and I have talked about this. You know, if there's difficulty and if there are concerns surrounding reactions and everything, for many people, they're holding off because there can be so many question marks in the realm of fertility today. We're hearing trends about women who are miscarrying after having the vaccine or who are having off cycles. And so I think this is, you know, a moment, an opportunity, a prudential discernment as we're protecting our motherhood and planning for the future. That's been Dr. Susan Caldwell. Find her on social media. We've tagged her on Instagram. She'll be back again soon to take your questions surrounding fertility.